Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. And again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this. I pray that this is a blessing to you as it has been to me. It's just been, wow. God lays a theme in my heart, and it's just amazing where He's led me to find information. It's just been great. Thank you. Shall we pray? Have them questions. Wouldn't it be nice? I would really like to wake up in the morning and just know where God's taking me today. What am I supposed to do? Where is He leading me? With, you know, just wake up with enthusiasm without any question. Time, life seems to fall rather short of the promises that you hear. Promises of peace, freedom, and joy. Just seems to fall short. It's almost like driving down the highway. I've got a dirty windshield. It's foggy. I'm straining to see where I need to go. Can I stay on the road? A little like the walk with God and life. You know, I really can't see as clear as I'd like to. Am I going to take the wrong road, the wrong trail? Am I going to drive off this road? It's almost as like something is against me. You know, has God abandoned me? Don't I pray enough? Am I not good enough? Did I blow it? I'd like to read what Paul says in Romans 7:15. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do everything I hate. And then in verse 18, for I desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And also in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual force of evils in the heavenly places. We're at war. Spiritual warfare. What's this war over? It's our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. Did you know the subject of the heart was addressed in the Bible more than any other topic, more than works, service, belief, disbelief, money, or worship? The heart. Ephesians 3:16-17, that according to His riches of His glory, that He might grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through you, being rooted and grounded in love. The heart is a dwelling place of God. Matthew 10:34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to bring peace, but a sword. How do you envision this battleground we talk about? What's it look like to you? Do we get on our gun or get out our sword and go down the street and battle Satan? Is it a big hoopdah like we see on TV when they have war? But this is a spiritual warfare of our hearts. And it is the image of God reflected in you that enrages the devil. It is that which the devil will work his hardest to destroy. Remember, it's been a number of years ago, Pastor Alvin Dallin said that the closer you get to God, the harder the devil will work on you. And I found that to be true. But I thought, I'm gaining on that. I could resist some of these temptations, but it's these outward temptations. I'm getting strong, but I'm still missing something. It's still not right. I'm still not feeling right. There's just something's missing. And since God laid these words on my heart, the heart and spiritual warfare has given me, opened a new door on what this war is all about. What and where is this devil working on? That spiritual warfare of our hearts. What's he trying to do? He's trying to push God out and take our hearts. And where's a great place for that to start? Emotions. God created us to enjoy a whole spectrum of emotions so we can enjoy life. This is a gift of God that we could fully interact with God and people. So these emotions that we have, joy, that we can enjoy God, and enjoy life, happiness and all that. But on the downside, in that same capacity, that allows us to feel this overwhelming joy is also a gateway to deep and overwhelming fears, concerns, and downers. How do we generally react when people attack us? Or maybe I should say I. If somebody says something to me that infuriates me, what's my first reaction? Pow. Smack him. But, that's not the thing to do, Get in trouble real quick, it even makes the troubles worth. But how am I going to get back at him? How am I going to, somebody that's got to me, he's hurt my ego, hurt my pride. How can I attack him? Can I go knock the windshield out of his car? Yeah, that'll hurt him, but he can fix that. How can I get him? I can lie. Start a little lie. Talk to somebody. Do you know what he did? That guy. You know him. He's kind of that way, Rumors, lies, just little stories about other people. That's how I get him. Get back because he hurt me. What a wonderful place. If we do it, think of the devil. He's a master of that. To attack our emotions. One of the most effective way for the enemy to keep you... Excuse me, let me step back here a second. Go back with these emotions. How can he get to your heart? With these emotions? Is there days, you feel like I'm not capable to do that. I feel stupid, and they can be brought on by your inner feelings or somebody telling you that, or insulting you, just knocking you down. Jealousy. Rejection, that's a big one. You can feel put down with rejection, feel left out. He's a master at laying guilt and shame on us, I'm not worthy of that. Look what I've done. Why would God love me? How could he forgive me for some of that stuff? Uselessness, incapable. The devil, the enemy, that's where he can get us. Get you down. Not be just internally, but also through other people we encounter. We say, that guy did that to me. Well, that's a spiritual warfare. God may be using those people and those sayings to attack us. So if we can acknowledge sometimes that when some people come after us, it's the devil working through them. One of the most effective ways the enemy can keep you from becoming a champion of the Lord is to turn you against yourself. How can we praise God when we don't feel good about who I am or what I am? I don't feel quite right. And he's also great at continuing to scratch or open up them deep wounds we've all in our heart, or sins. You know, I'm sure each one of us have carried something. We've been hurt badly in the childhood or someplace, and how he can keep festering those deals. Then we go back. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let me pick Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. We were made to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 22, do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What a perfect place to attack us. How can we glorify God when we have these negative thoughts about ourselves? With these attacks of our uselessness. And perfect example was this week. There's been a few days. I wanted to go to the phone and call Brian. Say, help. I can't do this. I'm not capable of this. Why? I've just got too much, you know. I've done some things that, my past is cloudy. To give up. And there's that part where he works on us. I'm not capable. I'm not worthy. So he's working at our heart. At those little things. It's a spiritual warfare right here. And how do we fight that? Saying, Lord, or the devil, get behind me. Get out of here. Lord, what are you really trying to say to me? We just have to get the discipline or the wisdom or knowledge to discern who is speaking. To learn to hear what God's speaking and pushing the devil out of our hearts. James 4:7, submit yourselves there to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And does that work? We need to work at it. We need to train. We need to have trust that what we're saying is that we truly believe and trust that he will be there and that will push the devil out. And how can we do that? Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. in Revelation 12:11. And then they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and words of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. How can we overcome? It's been overcome. We just need to forgive ourselves and ask for forgiveness. Christ died on the cross. So all those things that burden our, attacked our heart, or the attacks, but also the scars that we carry, or the burdens we carry from our past, that's all been washed. And how else do we do it? Words of their testimony. Speak of, share with Jesus, talk about Jesus at all times with all people. Another way to combat that is, it's an acronym, watch our hearts and use words. What words we say and do. James 3, 5 and 6. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set fire by hell. What we say is a way to watch our heart, so we're not a tool of the devil to knock people down. Let's not be his tool. An interesting story on that story, but this woman went to the Father, and she said, "Father, I've sinned. I've gossiped, and I've told a little lie about this person." And the priest told him, says, "Well, go take your feather pillow and go to the roof of your house and stab it." So she goes to the top, stabs the old feather pillow, and feathers would just fly everywhere. Just blow all over. And she goes back to the priest, "Father, I went, stabbed the pillow, feathers flew all over." He said, "Now, go gather them. Go pick them up. Gather them all back." She says, "I can't. It's everywhere." That's our word. That's, you know, what we say gets blown everywhere, and we're not going to be able to get it back. Attitude, for the A, for attitude. How's our attitude with people? Do we reflect God in our attitude? Are we positive about the Lord? Temptations. Can we resist? Can we be strong with God's strength? Character is a big thing. You know, things are caught more than taught. People learn more from the way we act rather than what we say. And the other one is household. The base of all this. Teaching it, preaching it, talking it in the home, teaching ourselves, training ourselves, encouraging ourselves. The Holy Spirit is sent from God to help us guard our hearts, to be the sole capture of our hearts. Living it daily, speaking it daily, and asking for His strength and the wisdom to discern the lies that the enemy is using to displace God in our hearts. The war is on our hearts. Can we protect it? 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. For every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. As Paul talks about here is running in life, running a race in this life. I'd like to compare that to running marathon, or any long distance race or a race. Think of the athletes. Compare the, are we like them? Do they train daily? They just don't train on Sunday. Every day they train to reach their prize, the medal, whatever it is. They sacrifice a number of things to stay healthy and to stay in training. And their focus is on winning the goal. And maybe, like Christians sometimes, when you start out that race, the crowd's there, everybody's cheering, everybody's excited about getting to run the race and to win the medal. Like any long distance race, I don't know if you've ever heard, hit the wall. You're running along and everything's going pretty good, and there's always a time in that race you're going to hit the wall, and it's hard to get through. You're tired, you're exhausted. But if you in running, if you just fight through that, they call the second wind, and off you go again. In our Christian life, can be the same way. We're running along pretty good. Something happens. Lose a friend, lose a relative, somebody's hurt. Just something happens in life that's tough. These heartaches, are heavy loads. We're burdened with guilt or shame. Do we give up, just like the runner, hits that wall, not worth it, can't see the goal, it's around the corner, can't envision it? Is that somewhat like us? Would we hit that? Are we going to give up on the Lord? Can we persevere through, get through, and know what our goal is? Think of the runner. They're training for that. For a perishable wreath. Think of ours. What's your reward if you keep running the race with Christ guarding your heart? How's that compare to that? Give us the strength to finish this race. And also to put it up the fight of our warfare in our heart. Lord, so we give up. And how are we training ourselves daily? Are we praying every day? Are we doing our Bible reading? Are we having fellowship with God to give us the strength to finish the race of receiving the prize of life everlasting with God? Are we willing to train daily and work hard to protect our hearts? With that, shall we pray? Father, we ask for the strength to fight the good fights, but also to run the race, but also help us to understand the battle that the devil is fighting for a place in our heart, displace God, so to put us down, so that we cannot fully praise and glorify you and enjoy the peace and comfort that you give. Lord, we just thank you for the promise of your Son, but also to know that he has cleansed us with his holy, with his blood, that we are cleansed and forgiven and will be forgiven, and help us to shuck off our shame and guilt and continue forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.